He lifts me up. You Raise Me Up is a beautiful song by Josh Groban and highlights our need to be lifted from our sadness, fears, and heartache. And the song opens with these words: "When I'm down and, oh, my soul so weary, when troubles come and my heart burdened be, then I am still and wait here in the silence until you come and sit a while with me." The words acknowledge our sorrows and burdened hearts, and yet directs us to consider the one who can lift us above the heartache this world brings. King David, who certainly experienced many troubles in his life, from betrayal by family and friends to constant battles from within and without, nonetheless wrote repeatedly how God lifts us up, saying, "He lifts the poor from the dust and the needy from the garbage dump. He sets them among princes and places them in seats of honor, for all the earth is the Lord's, and he has set the world in order." And again, the Lord helps the fallen and lifts those who are bent beneath their loads. The Lord lifts up those who are weighed down. Jesus, our Savior, echoed these words when he welcomed the beleaguered, saying, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart. And you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light." It's no doubt that Jesus intends to lift us up out of our burdens, for he tells the complaining religious leaders, just as the Father gives life to those he raises from the dead, so the Son gives life to anyone he wants. Of course, he was speaking of his own resurrection, but he was also speaking about ours. And not just our resurrection to eternal life, but our amazing transformation from death to life when we accept him as our Lord and Savior and are snatched from the jaws of eternal death and darkness and set into his glorious eternal light and life. So why do we still feel like we're walking on stormy seas? Well, you may argue, because we are. The picture of Peter sinking in the foaming waters may well mirror your own, and you can't imagine how you'll rise above it. And it wasn't just Peter that felt that way either. Moses did as well. Although God had repeatedly showed himself faithful to the children of Israel in so many miraculous ways, still they complained bitterly and vehemently against Moses. After the scouts returned from reviewing the land of Canaan, and people heard about the giants in the land, they began weeping aloud and they cried all night. Their voices rose in a great chorus of protest against Moses and Aaron. Bitterly they hissed, "Let's choose a new leader and go back to Egypt." In the midst of all this hatred, what did Moses do? He fell face down on the ground before the whole community of Israel. He didn't rise up to defend himself or his leadership, but he humbled himself with his face in the dirt. What then did God do? Then the glorious presence of the Lord appeared to all the Israelites at the tabernacle. God spoke of what he would do to those who rebelled against him, while promising to make Moses a great nation. But instead of applauding God's judgment against his adversaries, Moses interceded for God's mercy. Again, when Korah and his crew rebelled against Moses' leadership, saying, "What right do you have to act as though you are greater than the rest of the Lord's people?" Moses once again fell face down on the ground. In the face of such mutinous spite, Moses turned to God, who knew the jealous hearts of the rebellious, and God decisively answered again. Then the glorious presence of the Lord appeared to the whole community, and the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, "Get away from these people so that I may instantly destroy them." And did they eagerly say, "Get him, God, get him, for they deserve your wrath," as I am so prone to do? They did not. Instead, they pleaded with God for mercy, saying, "Oh God, you are the God who gives breath to all creatures. Must you be angry with all the people when only one man sins?" The earth then opened and swallowed the rebellious, making a clear distinction between Moses and those who followed God with him and those who did not. Unbelievably, the muttering of the discontented was not finished, for the very next morning they started again. God was furious and threatened to destroy the grumblers. But Moses and Aaron once more fell down on the ground and interceded for them, stopping the plague that had broken out amongst them. Were the people finished? Had they seen and heard enough? Apparently not, for at the wilderness of Zin, the people complained again, blaming Moses for their misery. Here again, Moses and Aaron fell face down on the ground, and the glorious presence of the Lord appeared to them. And the Lord gave Moses instructions on bringing fresh water to the people. In each instance, when faced with mortal danger from a hateful crowd, Moses threw himself to the ground and God raised him up. The prophet Elijah also saw God raise him up in the same way. While battling Ahab, the godless king of Israel, Elijah faced challenge after challenge. Starvation by the brook Cherith, where God sent ravens to feed him daily until the brook dried up. Then the Lord sent him to the impoverished widow, where he expanded the oil and flour to feed them for many days to come. Then when the widow's son dies and in her grief she blames Elijah for his death, God raises the young boy after Elijah throws himself over the boy and prays for his restoration. Soon after, Elijah confronts the 450 prophets of Baal, yet another spiritual showdown in which God reveals his glory and majesty by consuming Elijah's water-drenched sacrifice with his heavenly fire. Then Elijah climbed to the top of Mount Carmel and bowed low to the ground and prayed with his face between his knees. Seven times Elijah sent his servant out to look for rain clouds, while he himself persisted in prayer. Then when a small cloud appeared, Elijah knew God was sending rain, and in the power of the Lord's strength, he outraced the chariots of Ahab to the city of Jezreel, where he faced the rage of the evil Jezebel, the wife of Ahab, who was intent on killing him. In fear for his life, Elijah fled to the wilderness. Desperate, he begged God to take his life, for he'd had enough. But God sustained him, sending an angel to feed and watch over him. Thus strengthened by the Lord, Elijah was led to Mount Sinai, the mountain of God, where he faced the mighty windstorm, violent earthquake, and fire, only to step out when he heard the gentle whisper of God. "What are you doing here, Elijah?" Of course, God knew all that had happened to Elijah, even knew why Elijah felt so destitute now. "I have zealously served the Lord God Almighty," he cried, "but the people of Israel have broken their covenant with you, torn down your altars, and killed every one of your prophets. I'm the only one left, and they're trying to kill me too." Then God reassured him he wasn't alone. 7,000 others still served the Lord in Israel. Further, God called him to anoint a new king of Aram in Israel and a new prophet who would carry on the work of the Lord to right the wrongs of the ungodly. God had heard his prayers and answered them perfectly. As he did with Moses, God raised Elijah up so he could stand on mountains. He did the same with Peter, taking him to the Mount of Transfiguration to witness these men, Moses and Elijah, standing radiant with the transfigured Jesus, conversing of things to come. As he did with Moses, Elijah, and Peter, God raised them up so they could walk on both stormy seas, those stormy seas of life, and raised them up to stand on mountains. Where does God raise you up from? He raises you up from here, face down on the ground. Just ask the woman who's harassed at work, or the widow who's lost her beloved husband unexpectedly, or the dad or mom with children struggling with addictions. Beleaguered and desperate, their faces tear-streaked and downcast, they turn to God for solace and hope, and it's then they are raised up. And us? We are strong when we are on his shoulders, lifted up by his loving hands, so we are more than we can be. God bless you, beloved. God bless you.